Today is the 16th of October 2023. My name is Judy Shinnick and I will be interviewing Beverly McMurtry, Kevin Haywood and Jenny Gambarazzi about their parents Isla and Fred Haywood. Isla was formerly known as Isla Anderson, and the interview is taking place in Beverly's home in Hastings. And I think, Jenny, you're going to start off.
Okay, so this is our remembrances of Fred and Isla Haywood, our parents. Fred was born in Blenheim and came up to Hawke's Bay in his middle to late 20s. He was a musterer, a shepherd on many farms in the South Island, and then worked his way up to Hawke's Bay. He was coming up here because his sister had a farm at Whakatū, and Fred stayed there with his sister when they first came. An article that was written for their golden wedding talks about the time our dad met our mum. The first time he saw her, he was shaving in the bathroom of his sister's home, our Auntie Emma, when Isla passed by the open window. He leaned out the window to watch her, and Isla says he was still watching, lather and all, when she came back 5 minutes later. And then, as we say, the rest is history. He was on his way to work in Gisborne, and we understand possibly go to Argentina to be a shepherd over there, but he never got north of Napier. Mum entrapped him, I think. He said after that it took him 20 years to eventually get to Gisborne. Our mum, Isla, lived on the family farm of the Andersons, Seba and Alan Anderson at Munga Territory, and their farm backed and wrapped around where the Munga Territory School is now. They had about 100 acres there, apparently. So Mum and Dad courted for 5 years before they got married, and then they moved into Norton Road in Hastings, where they had a small milk run. They then went to work for the Hartrees at Nauroto Station, which is up Pātoka way. They were there for 3 years, and that's where our older brother Colin, who has since passed away, was born. Then they came back to Havelock North and they bought property on Havelock Road where they milked cows and grew veggies under contract to the army during the Second World War. After the war, the area was planted out in fruit trees and they ran an orchard there before selling up and moving out to Havelock North in Campbell Street, where I grew up. Dad had many hobbies, and he was involved in racing pigeons. He was involved in the swimming club, which we'll talk about a little bit later. He always said he was a bowler's widower because Mum was heavily involved in bowling out at Havelock North and also in St. Columba's Church. So I'll pass over to Kevin and Beverly for some memories about their life on the orchard. It was called Glenleigh, and it's still called Glenleigh, and it's on the Hastings Havelock Road.
Right. Dad also had cows that he milked, because I can remember helping him do that. That was before the fruit trees were put in. He grew peas and tomatoes for waddies. That would have been after the war. And he grew the fruit. It was just the orchard. Had sales at the gate, but he also consigned fruit all over, mainly the North Island. Used to drive the truck to the railway station to be consigned to wherever.
And were you part of helping out on the orchard or the garden?
I very much helped on the orchard, pruning, thinning, picking, grading. In the early days, driving the spray outfit, especially when it was frost fighting time, I used to drive the spray outfit and Dad would walk behind and fill the oil pots. What a filthy job. But we did it. So I worked the weekends during my school life and, yeah, just was Dad's right-hand man, I suppose you'd call me. Okay. I mean, he did employ other pickers and things.
Kevin and Jenny, did you work on the orchard helping out as well?
No, I didn't. I was an afterthought in the family. Right. And they sold the orchard when I was nearly two and moved out to Havelock North.
I grew up on the orchard until I was 12. An orchard life we had a great time. You know, it was good Hastings to Rock Road. Growing up there, Colin, my brother, he was 8 years older than me. And when he turned 15 or 16, he left home to go to the Navy. And I think it was on his first or second leave home, Ginny had popped out.
Right, okay.
So Mum and Dad replaced him with Ginny.
Kevin, were you second eldest?
No.
You were, yes. Beverly.
Yeah, I was the baby in the family until Ginny. Ginny. Yes. On the Orchard, just got this book here, which is 100 Years of Harvest in Hawke's Bay. And Dad's mentioned in this, he was on the committee for the Blossom Parade, the first Blossom Parade was organised by the Fruit Growers in 1950. And there's a photo there, myself and Bev. And that was the truck that he put in. That was our orchard truck. He decorated that with real blossom cut off the trees for the Blossom Parade. And he also put another photo somewhere. He had the old spray outfit, which I remember was an old Federal Night truck with a sprayer on the back. And it had a Chev motor that drove the sprayer. He also put that into the Blossom Parade too. We don't know who the driver of that truck was in the Blossom Parade. It could have been our next door neighbour, Fred Atley, or one of the masters. Not quite sure.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So that was us growing up in the orchard. And then we went to Havelock North, Campbell Street. Mum and Dad sold the orchard and went to Havelock North. And Dad still worked at Master's Orchard, which is over the road from us in Havelock Road. From Glenlee, so he worked on Master's Orchard until he retired, and some. And he also worked at Lucknow School as a caretaker. Did a stint there for 2 years, I think.
Before retirement.
Well, he retired. He was well in his 70s. He worked there. But going back to Mum and Dad's achievements, heavily involved in the Havelock North Swimming Club from 1944. So that must have been for our brother Colin when he started swimming. Dad's got citations, he became a life member. So that was their main involvement. But there was the Pigeon Club. He was involved with the Hawke's Bay Pigeon Club, which rooms were down in Karama Road. He was also involved with the Boxing Association in Hawke's Bay. And Bev and myself can remember going to the Municipal Theatre to watch boxing. I think they call it Toy Toy now.
Was he boxing himself?
No, he didn't box, but he just loved the boxing and was on the association.
He also used to take us to watch the rugby at Nelson Park, Saturday afternoon rugby.
But with the swimming club, we still had the old truck, 1928 Chev pickup truck, and all us kids used to sit on the back and go to Mahora, to Rauriga, to Mayfair, Central and Havelock North, they were all the different swimming clubs. We'd travel around those different days of the week, at night time, and it was always at night.
What was happening at
that
night?
Was swimming events for the swimming club, carnivals, which were big things back in the 50s and 60s.
Are you able to tell us a little bit more about, you know, what they were like?
The swimming carnivals?
Yes.
I don't know about Kevin or Jenny, but I represented Havelock North Swimming Club at the Hawke's Bay Championships.
I did the same, and also the Hawke's Bay Poverty Bay Swimming Association at the North Island Swimming Championships. Dad and Mum were both managers for many years of Hawke's Bay representative teams that went to the Swimming Nationals. It was a real family atmosphere. Dad was made a life member of the Havelock North Swimming Club in 1969, and then in 1974 he was made a life member of the Hawke's Bay Poverty Bay Swimming Centre, they called it. I always knew it as association. He was a swimming judge and used to judge at local Hawke's Bay and national level, at national swimming levels. And he had joined the club in 1944. From 1946, he was on the committee right through to 1974 when the citation was written, and beyond that, a huge time. Yeah. In that time, he'd been a judge, a timekeeper, a chief judge since 1959, He was the billeting officer for 15 years and used to organise home stays, I guess we call them now, but visiting teams would be billeted out. They didn't stay in motels or camping grounds or anything. They'd stay with
individual
families that belonged to the swimming clubs. Well, Dad organised all of that for 15 years, which would have been a huge job. He was a carnival organiser. He used to organise the summer carnival each year and the team manager. He also took on the responsibility of representing one of the Gisborne clubs on the Hawke's Bay Poverty Bay Association, because I think they used to meet down here, and to save travel of their delegates, he always acted as a delegate for them. Yeah, swimming was our life, really.
Our life.
All of us were competitive swimmers, and I don't know, but Dad told a story of when he was about 11 or 12 in Blenheim, swimming down the river, and one of their mates got into trouble and drowned, and neither of the others could swim. And from that day, he determined that he would teach himself to swim, and if he had kids, that we'd all be swimmers. And we were. It was just our life.
As Jenny and Bev said, they both represent Hawke's Bay. From Havelock North Swimming Club, I represent Hawke's Bay as well. Represent Havelock North of the Hawke's Bay Champs. Mm. So we've all gone through it. You know.
Yes. The Havelock North Swimming Club used to rotate with the swimming club in Gisborne. I can't remember its actual name. Alternate years.
Olympic.
They'd either come down to us or we'd go up to them and take a whole group of swimmers. So that was good fun.
Bev, you might like to talk about the fundraising for the new swimming pool at Havelock, because you were very involved in that.
Dad would have been involved on that committee. Yes, they chose me as the Havelock Swimming Club Queen, and then there were three other queens.
What was the role of the queen?
It was to raise money for the new swimming pool at Havelock North. They renovated the pool, and that was a big thing. Yes, so each queen's committee had functions to raise money, and that's what we did. Yes, and that was quite good fun.
Over what years was the fundraising?
60,
no,
61?
It would have been in the 50s because I got married in 59. And it was before I got married. Probably 57, 58 perhaps.
I can remember Dad running, I think he called it Housing. At the Highland Games.
Oh, at the Highland Games at Easter.
Every Highland Games at Windsor Park. And the Havelock North Swimming Club had this game, Housy. They raised money for the Havelock North Swimming Pool.
And you can't remember how many years it took to raise the money?
The pools were open in 1961, so it took a while. It was only the Havelock North Borough Council, then there was nothing combined with Hastings, so it was really separate, and there wasn't very many people, great population I have up north back then. And it was just one of those things. They all got together, and I think the local builders, Lays, who actually built the swimming pool.
It says here in his citation that was written for his life membership application that one of his many outstanding contributions to the Havelock North Club was the part he played in the fundraising during the Havelock North Borough Council centennial celebration to raise money for the development of the new swimming pool. Even prior to this, he'd spent many hours raising funds to install filtration plants in the Havelock North baths. Over many years, Fred has always given his time and effort for the purpose of raising money for the club. The people of Havelock North and surrounding districts owe this man a debt of gratitude, because he was one of the few people who had the foresight and willingness to work so that we can now enjoy the fine facility of the Havelock North Swimming Baths. And he was made a life member of the Havelock North Club in 1969. So that citation was written in 1974. So centennial pools.
So this was before he retired?
Yeah.
So it must have been a very busy life.
He was working full-time. I remember when he was working on the orchard and we lived out at Havelock, Dad would be home at 5.15, 5.20. Mum would have dinner on the table at 5.30. At 6 o'clock, If it was during frost time or busy time on the orchard, he'd be back to work at 6 o'clock. And he always supported us in whatever we were interested in. Like Kevin was a cyclist.
Yeah, I got involved with cycling with Ramblers Cycling Club in Havelock North. And straight away, I was only 15 at the time, straight away Dad got on the committee. So yeah. That was another committee he was on. He was already on the swimming club committee, but still found time to go on another committee.
Views of family and community oriented. Yeah.
And of course Mum was involved heavily in the swimming club as well as a chaperone through the years, but her main interests were her bowling club, Havelock North Women's Bowling Club.
And they both and grew roses and showed roses. And won many certificates.
And Dad bred birds and used to show birds at the local cage.
What sort of birds?
Canaries.
Canaries.
Zebra finches.
But we just found an interesting thing that Jenny brought up when we were going through all these bits and pieces, that when Dad showed his birds at the Cage Bird Club, he always put them down under Jenny's name.
So I've got all the certificates.
He grew roses. We had a great rose garden in Campbell Street, which was absolutely beautiful. It was a showpiece, wasn't it? It really was. Dad's garden and Mum's garden was a showpiece, and now it's a car park. Dad's roses were his passion. You know, he really loved them. When he was working on the orchard at Masters, not only was he working on the orchard, he was doing Molly Masters' roses as well. And she used to show her roses, and Dad would show his roses, and it was always firsts and seconds between the two of them.
But it was your Dad that did the work.
It was Dad that did the work.
Okay, so either way, he came first and second.
But he just did so many things.
He did.
You know?
And I was just thinking and reading here about Mum. She was quietly always there by his side, and as Kevin said, she was very involved in the Havelock North Women's Bowling Club and was made a life member. She was past president of that club, and she served on that committee for 22 years. So she had a long involvement. Dad always said he was a bowling widower.
Yeah, and she was involved with the St. Columbus Church as well.
Welfare shop.
Yeah. And she initially worked when I was little at the Hillsbrook Children's Home. She ran the laundry there, and I remember going up.
Sliding down the big
sliding
slide?
Sliding down the fire escape slide.
So whereabouts was that?
It's on Tomato Road. And it's roughly where the Catholic Church is.
Yeah, just beyond that.
So it sounds like she was really involved in the community.
Oh, she was. Everything.
Like they seemed very, you know, high energy, passionate people about everything they did.
Yeah. And a nice thing they've got written here, which is an article in the paper when their golden wedding was celebrated. It says, warm-hearted and kindly people, Isla and Fred Hayward's home was always being thrown open to their own and their children's friends. When their eldest son Colin was in the Royal Navy, he often would bring home a group of 4 or 5 petty officers to stay. And on another occasion, as a result of an SOS from Greater Hastings for accommodation, they had a complete girls' marching team bedded down in sleeping bags in the living room floor. And we often used to have swimming people coming to stay as well. Yeah, they were a good team. And they said their recipe for a long and happily married life was togetherness, working together in their children's interest and in the leisure time interest of each other. And that really summed them up.
That's how you remember them.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about your memories of them?
My memory of Dad was always an old man. He was 45 when I was born. He was 52 when Jenny was born. Mm. So to us, he was an old man. He wasn't a young man. He didn't meet Mum until he was 31 because Dad and Mum both went through the 1931 earthquake.
Which part of Fawkes Bay were they?
Well, Dad was at Whakatū. He was a yardman at the freezing works at the time when the earthquake struck, and he always told me that his priority on that day when the freezing works started to collapse, it had been payday. He got paid in cash. He ran back into his locker to get his money. And Mum was working on her father's farm with her brothers. Granddad was dead by then. Mm. He died in a motor vehicle accident. One of the first in Hawke's Bay back in 1928. So Mum was working on the orchard and they were doing hay, had the thrasher machine going, stacking up a big haystack. Mum was on top. Her job was standing on top, getting the little bundles of hay, pitchforked up to her, and she was doing the stacking on top. And she yelled at her brother, "Stop, you can see the earth rolling." And the earthquake hit. She got thrown off onto the ground.
Right. So from quite a high.
Yeah. Quite a height. She crawled home, what'd she say?
She said to me that she hit a fence post and hurt her back, and it took her the rest of the day to crawl back to the house. Yeah.
And she told me that the ground was opening up and closing in front of her because they were just having continual aftershocks.
Did she have any very serious injury from that?
No, but she always wore a corset all her life.
After that?
After that. Support, I suppose, for her back. But she never mentioned operations or anything.
No.
Didn't have scars.
And another survival thing they had was when they were up at Partoke on the sheep station up there. It was 1938. They'd been into town and got supplies. And they were on their way home. Across the Rislington Bridge, it was teeming with rain, and farmer above it saw them cross it, and then he looked out and the bridge had gone in the flood. And that was the 1938 floods.
That was right through Eastdale, wasn't
that
it?
That was right through Eastdale. Yeah. So they just crossed that bridge, and then a minute later, it wasn't there. So somebody was on their side that day. So they've been through the 31 earthquake and the 1938 floods.
Did they talk about those two events very much?
No.
Not much.
No, we've found out a few things since, which we didn't know. I've got a couple of photos up there I can show you later. Dad helped with the clean-up in Hastings after the earthquake. He volunteered to help there. He also volunteered to be what we call community patrol now, but back in those days it was to stop looting. Got his baton there and his police badge. He was on that to stop looting. There was a group of them at night time. So he did the patrol at night and helped clean up during the day.
And where your parents were living, like, were they okay housing-wise?
Yeah, well, the house where Mum was at the time, because they weren't married then, so Dad must have been at
Auntie Emma's.
And that house was still there, wasn't it? And the homestead at Manga Territory next to the school. It's been altered, but it's still there today. Yeah.
But I remember Mum telling me that they lived in the garage for about 6 weeks after the earthquake. And with the aftershocks, how much the furniture would move. So I don't know whether it was because there was damage to the homestead or they felt it was safer out in the garage.
The photos I've got, Dad, Magnitude 31 earthquake. Dad there on patrol and I'm there helping with the cleanup. Michael Fowler wrote an interesting article about the community patrols back then to stop looting. They were issued with a revolver and the law was back then you could shoot looters.
Oh, well, that's changed, hasn't it?
It has changed.
How old was your father?
He would have been 30.
He was born in 1901.
And what about your mum? How old was she?
She was born in 1910.
So she would have been 21.
That's interesting, you know, seeing when the police...
Yeah, there was 11 years between mum and dad, which is quite a gap. That's where Jenny and I had an old father.
Yes.
I don't remember him as being old. So you've got just my dad. But probably I had no one, only my friend's fathers. I never looked at men and thought, gosh, you're old.
But your perception was different to Kevin and Jenny.
Yes, well, Kevin's 5 years after me. Yes, Dad and I were good mates. And if I did anything wrong during the day, Mum would always say, "I'll tell your father when he gets home. Mm. He'll deal with you."
but he never did. It was always Mum that was a disciplinarian.
Yeah. Did she ever tell him?
I have no idea.
And Bev, do you have any particular memories about your parents?
Oh, just what Jenny and Kevin have said. Yeah. Always involved in whatever we were interested in. Yes, they got involved and it was good. We had a good life.
Yeah, we did. We did. They were both 84 when they died, you know, even though it was 10 years apart. And my brother died last year and he said, I want to live until I'm 85. And he did. He was 85 and 9 days. Bev's going to outlive us all. She's going to be like our great-grandfather. He died on his 100th birthday. Oh,
so you've got longevity in the genes.
Don't know about that.
So Mum and Dad's life, very interesting life in Hawke's Bay. And I think they contribute, as you can see from that, a lot to not only in the Fruit Growers Federation back then, a swimming club, Rose. Pigeon club, Rose Society.
Yes, you haven't told Canary us anything club. About the pigeon club yet.
Yeah, well, when we were on the orchard, Dad had a lot of pigeons he raced. He raced pigeons, and that was another passion.
And so he used to bring them on the truck to Karamu Road. The pigeon club building was there. And, yes, I'd go with him then, and he'd clock the birds in for a race day, and then we'd be all sitting at home waiting for the birds to arrive, and he'd clock them in again.
Yeah, they used to go by rail down to Dannyburg or Palmerston North or something like that, and then they'd race home, you see.
It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it is. So, there is a pigeon club still going, I think.
Yeah. It says here in the article that pigeon racing club rooms in Railway Road were built with timber from a huge macrocarpa tree felled on the Hayward property and milled for that express purpose.
Oh, there we go. Another one. Something I didn't know, so there's something I've learnt today.
So is that in a newspaper article?
This is a newspaper article celebrating their golden wedding in 1984.
But he used to like taking us to the boxing and to the rugby at Nelson Park. He'd still had time to do those, plus all his committee work.
Yes. I mean, it sounds like he was, fitted in a lot, living life to the full.
And he had the most beautiful veggie garden, huge, and he'd spend hours out there digging.
Oh, every minute of every day.
Every spare minute he had, he would be in the, I think in summertime he'd be up at 5 o'clock out digging the veggie garden. Everything was done by hand. And
altogether, how many years did he have in Hawke's Bay?
He was 84 when he died, so
he would have been here in his late 20s.
Yes.
So he was here in 1931 earthquake, so probably a couple of years before that. Yeah. So he might have been here from when he was 29.
So good.
Many years. And your mum was here the whole, born and bred.
Yeah. Mum was born and bred. Well, she wasn't born here. She was born
in Masterton. Grew up on farm at Manga Territory.
Father came up and started farming up here. But Dad was from a big family of
9 children.
13.
I thought 9, but
I thought it was 11.
Many kids.
Somewhere between 9 and 13.
Not 13.
Mum had
3 brothers.
So you would have had lots of cousins.
Lots of cousins. Yes. Still lots of cousins here in Hawke's Bay.
And there's still family on the farm at Manga Territory?
No, it's been sold to
Has it?
Yes.
See, I've moved away, I don't know that.
Yeah, there's no family farm there anymore because Roy moved to Pakawai and his son took over that, and that's been flooded.
So just going back to the 1938 floods, did they talk much about that?
Never.
So it was just the bridge collapsing?
Just the bridge collapsing.
After they got across, and that's the memory that they've talked about?
Yeah. Yes.
They didn't talk much about.
Even going back to Dad's life down the South Island, he was a muster on the Molesworth Station. He mustered down the Mackenzie country. But he never spoke about it, just saying, I was out.
High
country mustering in the snow and be out for 3 months before we got sheep all into the station. And, so it was sort of, he must have had a lonely life.
He did find gold in the Howard River, which is down there, which he made Mum's wedding ring out of, which I have now got on my finger.
So he went prospecting or something, did he?
Well, probably just for fun.
Yeah. But got enough gold to do that.
Yes.
No, interesting stories. We got a nice photo somewhere when he was coming up to Hawke's Bay, and he worked his way on sheep stations all the way up. And one photo is at the tourist station in Wairarapa.
Oh, yes. Is that where they do the walk now?
Yes, they do.
So my daughter's been there and walked it and took her sweet granddad. He worked his way up to different sheep stations, working his way up to Hawke's Bay.
So he's been a man of the land.
Man of the land. Yeah. Never liked trees, but he grew a bloody orchard. I remember moving to Havrock North, and there was a whole lot of plane trees in front. And
Silver birch.
And the first thing he did was cut them all down.
Okay. And what was he growing on the orchard?
Peaches.
Golden Queen peaches, pears, plums, apples.
What did he have in the glasshouse?
Tomatoes, which he grew for Watties.
Chooks, plenty of chooks. There was always eggs.
Always had cats, and not so much a house dog.
But another thing he was judge of was the Hawke's Bay A&P Society. He was a head judge on the pigs.
With Fred Apley. Yeah.
And he used to go to all the shows, Masterton, and
everywhere.
Judging pigs at showtime.
So he must have spent quite a bit of time travelling as well. Oh, you know, judging these different things.
We're always dressed up to go to the show. And Dad always wore a suit.
Collar and tie. And a hat.
And that's one of those photos that Jenny's got there. We always used to go uptown on Christmas Eve.
Friday nights.
But Christmas Eve was a big night, and Hastings used to close off. And you go uptown, and I think Dad and Fred Apley used to go to the pub first and have a few. I remember one Christmas Eve, he was walking down, trying to think of the hotel. It was on the corner of Railway Road.
There was the Carlton and
Carlton. I think Albert. It might have been the Carlton. The Albert was on Kermit Road. It was the Carlton. And he was walking down, and he was swaying a bit. And policeman stopped him and asked him if he was drunk or something. And he said, "No, I'm just following this building." So that was Dan. But he used to drink on a Saturday afternoon at the Havrock pub, but never.
He wasn't a heavy drinker.
Another thing, going back to the orchard, they used to make cider once a year. He was a great cider man, wasn't he? And that used to involve all the orchards around in Havrock Road. Dad had the old tractor and had a cider press, and it was just all the apples that had fallen on the ground. They were half rotten or bugs in them or whatever. All go through the crushing. And while they were crushing down this year's, they were bottling last year's, which were in big vats, barrels, and sampling it. So by the end of the day, everybody was pretty, as Mum would say, shook it.
Yes. So was that, you know, for the orchardists, or did they sell?
No, they didn't sell it. No, that was just a little black market thing.
So is there anything else that you want to share, you know, that's been really important in their lives and yours?
The most important thing was their commitment to everything that we got involved in. That was their biggest achievement. Yeah. You know, the swimming club was the biggest one, the main purpose.
They were just very community-minded people.
Wanted to get involved with anything.
So very connected.
Very.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was great times for us growing up in Havrock Road on Glenlee Orchard, and also following through, especially Jenny and myself, because I was 12. So I had a few years in Havrock North. It was a village then, and it was a real village life. It was good.
And since then, you've moved away, Jenny.
Yes.
You've stayed here, Bev?
Been all around Hawke's Bay, but been here for 50 years or something.
In this house.
Okay. And what about you?
I went up to Auckland to travel overseas and met a young lady and stayed there for 32 years, and now I've come home.
So that's Dad's story repeated.
Never got overseas.
No, never got overseas. No. He met a young lady and stayed.
So is this a good place to leave your memories of your
I don't think there's anything more. There's just so many things that are involved, but, as I said, just memory of them doing the cider.
I can remember helping him milk cows because he used to put it in those cream
cans,
barrels or whatever you call them. Yeah, and put it at the gate and get picked up. Yes, so that was before the orchard anyway, because he grew peas and tomatoes for Watties.
It was a dairy farm. When they brought it, it was a dairy farm.
And he had the cows and then he planted the orchard.
And then he according to that thing I've got, it was a dairy farm when they brought it and it went from Havelock Road and then went right down the back to
St George's Road
Painters.
So it went round Painters Place.
So is there any last thing you want to share?
No. I just think we were really privileged to have such wonderful parents. Yes. Really were.
And as I said before, you know, to us, not so much Mum, but Dad was always an old man. He was always an old man.
But not to Bev.
No.
So, Bev, is there anything further you want to share to finish off?
Not really. I just enjoyed life on the orchard. We all moved to Havelock North when I was 16. And he did ask my then boyfriend, who became my husband, who was farming, if he gave the orchard to me, he must have been thinking of selling it, would he be interested? He said, yes, I'll cut the trees down and put sheep on it. Well, that was the end of that.
Right.
No, just always there, you know, involved.
And anything more from you, Kevin?
No, I think I've said my bit. Got the main points and, we've got interesting photos, which are our memories, Mum and Dad. You know, these ones of the earthquake, they never spoke about it. And they came up, Mum found them, didn't she?
An exhibition in Napier. It must have been commemorating the earthquake at some stage and saw the photos.
And that's the first you knew.
Yes, and they got copies of them.
Yeah. Well, he knew he had done that because he had the baton and the armband, which we got there. Didn't have the pistol. He must have had to give the pistol to be handed back. But that would have been an interesting time for them after the earthquake, you know, as you can see by that photo, cleaning up and that one doing a community patrol, stop looting and having a pistol and being able to shoot somebody if they saw them looting. It's a big responsibility on you, isn't it? That's the article there. It says, you know, you shoot, you hit them over the head with the bat and you blow the whistle for the police to come.
Right, well, that's changed.
Yes.
Substantially, hasn't it? That's probably a good place for us to leave it, I think.